The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTates.com studios.
It's good Wednesday. Close to the weekend. Brad Sesmat with you, Sports360AZ.com, on White Mountain Radio, and of course on Twitter at Brad Sesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. Al McCoy is going to be with us, the real Al McCoy, the voice of the Suns from Portland, the Hall of Famer, will join us here in about 15 minutes. Suns at Blazers tonight. Be good to catch up with Al. Michael Fabiano, NFL Network, NFL.com, the Hall of Fame fantasy football editor. All things fantasy football from the NFL Network's own Michael Fabiano, from me to you and your ears or eyes. He comes up at the bottom of the hour. Working on a few other things as well. Senior Executive Vice President of Nothing, or some days everything, Eric Sorensen, has our Facebook question of the day to get us off and running.
Well, this is actually your question, so if it stinks, don't blame me, because I know you always do when you don't like the question.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, today's question is, after seeing the show, KU's Andrew Wiggins and Duke's Jabari Parker, two phenomenal freshmen, I know you were watching last night, Brad.
I was.
Put on in Chicago, would you rather see your 5-2 Suns keep winning, or slide to the top of the lottery, as many expected before the season started, and grab one of these two top blue chip stars? Head over to facebook.com/sports360AZ. Like the page, share your input.
Well, you have to throw Julius Randle in there too, the kid from Kentucky. Because, look, I'm watching last night, and you have to understand something. Last night was as good an event. When I tell people that we do college, high school, pro, in no particular order. People are like, oh, wow, you just talk pro football. That's all that people want. No, it's not. People like to know who's next. They love to know who's next. I can tell you the first Jared Bayless game I went to. I can tell you the first time I saw Mike Bibby play. The first time I saw Jahi Carson play. All these names of players that are going to be or have been in the NBA. It's pretty cool when that happens. You walk into a gym and there's a buzz about this floppy-haired kid over at Corona del Sol, Casey Benson. It's kind of cool. And he's going to go on, he's going to play. And he'll play well beyond high school and college, in my opinion. I could be wrong on that. There's some guys I've seen through the years where you show up, the gym's packed, there's fans are standing outside the door to get in. You see the kid play, and the kid has two left feet, can't move. You know, it's, well, what's the buzz? You talk some colleges, well, yeah, he lit it up as a eighth grader, as a freshman. The newspaper did some piece on him. Everybody thought he was great. Well, he can't play. I've seen that too. Last night was great. Head over to facebook.com/pros2preps, Sports360AZ, Sports360AZ. Like our page. Share your input. That's facebook.com/Sports360AZ. Eric, if you had the number one pick right now, I'm taking Jabari Parker just off of last night's game.
It's tough because I haven't seen enough of each of them, and you kind of have to go with what will the Suns need. I mean, they're different. They're different type players, aren't they?
Well,
I mean, one is more of like a pure shooter, and the other is more like a LeBron, mini LeBron.
I don't know if I'd. I have a hard time using LeBron around any of these guys. I'll tell you, Jabari Parker's body reminds me a little bit of Tracy McGrady, but I was not a big Tracy McGrady guy. Wasn't a big Tracy McGrady guy. Wiggins is, boy, you'd look at him and say, he's going to put on 30 pounds and he's going to be a monster. He's just going to be. But you have to understand that last night, the touch fouls that were called in the game.
That's how it's going to be this year, though.
That's how it's going to be this year in college basketball. The rules have changed. And so, yeah, Wiggins didn't play much. He had two fouls, and Bill Self holds him out. Jabari Parker, on the other hand, gets two fouls in the first half. Doesn't matter. Jabari Parker, for his size and skill set, if I had to choose between Julius Randle, Jabari Parker, and Andrew Wiggins off of last night, I'd probably go with Julius Randle and a nudge over Jabari Parker. But the bottom line is the Suns are screwing this up at 5-2. You know, they're playing at Portland tonight. They need to win about 16, 17 games. They're not going to do that. What are you guys thinking? I wonder if Jeff Hornacek sits in his hotel room last night in Portland and Ryan McDonough, wherever Ryan was last night, and they're watching the guys play, and it's, man, we've got to make a deal here. We got to trade away some of these guys. We're too good. Let's get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. Honda Resort and Casino. Let's check it into the casino, head on up there in a couple of weeks. Honda Resort and Casino. You know, the weather up there, when we get this first snowstorm, guys, it's coming. The snow is going to come. And when it comes, the place to stay, do the skiing, have some fun, have a couple of pops, hang out, pull down the slots. It's at the Honda Resort and Casino in the White Mountains. There you go on that front. I'm going to start with the NFL because the Cardinals play this week at Jacksonville, and I know that's not the headline game. The headline game is Kansas City against Denver. We're actually going to talk about the Kansas City-Denver game with Michael Fabiano on the fantasy football side and what to do with Dwayne Bowe. The NFL has said that Dwayne Bowe can play this week. Of course they could. You know, he gets nailed for pot, and the players' union gets involved. It's always the players' union. Now, the Chiefs could suspend him, and that'd probably be the right thing to do. They could, before the game, say, we're going to deactivate you, and that's just the way it is. Not suspend. It's all legalese. We're going to deactivate you. So the Cardinals play at Jacksonville. It's Maurice Jones-Drew. Jacksonville, on the surface, should be a game the Cardinals go in there and whack around. That said, these Cardinals, the last few weeks, have played much, much better. This should be a layup, right? They should come home 6-4 with Indianapolis, and there'd be a tremendous buzz around this game. Tyrann Mathieu, Eric caught up with Tyrann Mathieu yesterday out at a charity event. Here's Tyrann Mathieu. How is he holding up during the grind of the season?
I'm a bit lucky. I haven't hit that rookie wall yet, but I know it's coming. So just trying to stay prepared for it. So, you know, we're on a playoff run. Mm-hmm. We feel like we're a playoff team, and so we definitely have to finish strong, you know, the second half of the season.
What were you doing with Tyrann Mathieu yesterday, E? What was going on?
Tyrann was out in Mesa at Sequoia Charter Schools, and he was doing a Stay Fit, Play 60, kind of the theme the NFL has been pushing about kids being active. He was out there talking to kids, answering questions. They had Big Red out there, and they're kind of going through they had some of the drills, tackling dummies and things like that. So it was really cool to see him away from the normal routine of, you know, the practice field and the locker room. You saw a different side of the Honey Badger yesterday, for sure.
Were you one of the tackling dummies out there?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you say it again.
Were you one of the tackling dummies?
No.
Uh-uh. So it's you and Tyrann, and he's doing a lot of community service stuff. That's part of the deal with him playing with the Cardinals. That's part of the deal when they drafted him. It's part of the contract. He's got to do some community stuff, which is fine. I'm not denigrating that. I think it's great that he's out in the community.
Yeah, and I talked to some people within the Cardinals organization yesterday, and they said that he really, truly enjoys doing it. Like, with some of the rookies, you don't get a roll of the eyes, but it's more of an obligation. He looks at it as an opportunity because he told me when he was growing up in New Orleans, he never had a chance to meet an NFL player, and it's cool that he can give back, and it's great. It was a really neat event.
That's cool.
Go over to our webpage, sports360az.com. You can see the video and read the story.
Eric out there with Tyrann Mathieu yesterday. Peter King sent out a tweet this morning that he ran into Steve Keim. That's what I like about Steve Keim. Ran into AZ Steve Keim and Terry McDonough scouting the Toledo-Buffalo game last night. Keim raved about 25-play card debut of tight end Jake Ballard Sunday. It's a good little tidbit. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Rod Graves, I've known NFL personnel guys that like to go to all these places and points beyond. Can you imagine E getting on a plane to go see Toledo against Buffalo trying to find that next player?
Life of a GM and a scout.
How is that? How great
is
that?
That's it. Nothing says excitement like a Tuesday night Mac game?
Yeah.
It was probably freezing too, I might add.
Yeah, but this is my point of Steve Keim. Steve Keim is able to go out and... Ballard came in here with some pretty good credentials. And I think in a roundabout way, it's, D.C. Jefferson, they blew him out of here. They needed a tight end. Rob Housler, we're going to give you one more shot. And then when you don't get it done, you're done. Because we have Jake Ballard who's come in here. So it's just little things that the Cardinals are doing that I like. So, again, they have Jacksonville this weekend. Al McCoy here in a couple of minutes. ASU basketball played last night. They ended up crushing Miami of Ohio. I watched some of that. I was one of the five. It's funny when I mention on Twitter that I'm watching ASU basketball, people point out damn DirecTV or blankety blank DirecTV. It's, yeah, I know. I'm one of those that pays a little bit of extra to watch and do my job.
Didn't even know the game was on TV. Yeah. I looked for it, and I couldn't find it, but I have DirecTV, hence there's the answer to my question.
16 of 31 three-pointers by ASU last night. They're 2-0 on the season. Friday night, they're home to Idaho State. Here is Jermaine Marshall. The key for ASU is defensive pressure.
I think we've been doing a great job of just stressing, you know, how hard we have to play on the defensive end. You know, staying in our style of defense, our pack style of defense. And, of course, when you get stops, it makes everything a lot easier. You know, especially a team like us, we want to run. So when we get stops, we try to push the ball as fast as possible.
The Coyotes win in overtime at St. Louis. There's a lot around the Diamondbacks. You know, there's general managers meetings going on. And Yasiel Puig is drawing trade interest. I'm going to talk about this a little bit later. If you're the Dodgers and you know you have a headache on your hands and you just manage it this season, would you actually trade away Yasiel Puig? I brought this up to Pedro Gomez a couple weeks back. I think the Diamondbacks are going to make some moves. It's kind of funny in today's Republic, there's a whole list of things that we talked about on the show a couple weeks ago that they think could happen. Aaron Hill being traded, Keith Bell, all this stuff. Of course, ASU football getting ready for this weekend and much more. But next, we go to Portland. Al McCoy, voice of the Suns. They play the Blazers tonight on their fast start. I'm Brad Sussmat. Probably one of the biggest surprise stories in the Valley right now is what's going on with the Phoenix Suns. Pleasant surprise. Brad Sussmat with you, Sports 360 AZ on White Mountain Radio. Of course, on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. A lot of different ways for you to take in the show, of course, as you're out and about on your mobile device, at your office, your place of work, and again on White Mountain Radio as well. To Portland we go, where tonight the Suns play the Trailblazers. The Suns, a 5-2 record. Last season, they were a... it was very disappointing, obviously. 25-57 last season. Portland missed the playoffs last season as well. Didn't make many changes. Can the Suns move to 6-2? Here is the Hall of Fame voice of the Suns, Al McCoy, who I saw the other night before tip-off, and mentioned you can hear it in his voice about this young, exciting Suns team. Are you surprised with the start, Al?
Well, you know, I'd have to say a little bit, but having watched this team get ready for the season, both in training camp and preseason, not that surprised, because I felt very strongly that Coach Jeff Hornacek and his staff were going to have this team really ready to play. And then when I saw the enthusiasm of every one of the players on this roster during preseason, I said, you know, they're going to surprise some people. So I guess they have, winning 5 of their first 7 games.
This isn't to denigrate anybody, Al, but from a coaching standpoint, how well has Jeff done in coaching these young guys that were here last season? Do you see Jeff doing some things that needed to be done, in particular Markieff Morris?
Well, I think he's done an excellent job. And I guess when you look at Jeff Hornacek, he was destined to be a coach. Mm-hmm. As we know, his dad was a coach. Jeff played at Iowa State under a very fine coach. And then in the NBA, he played for Cotton Fitzsimmons. He played for Jerry Sloan. And he drew a little bit, I think, from every one of the coaches he was around. And so when he got this job, he was really prepared for it. And then he put together an excellent staff. So, and the thing is that I think he has tremendous respect from everybody on the roster. And you know how important that is. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with Markieff and Marcus Morris, the M&M twins, stepping up in the last few games, with Keith now buying in to maybe the sixth man situation. And, of course, he was the NBA's Western Conference Player of the Week last week. Some things have been going in the right direction, that's for sure.
How do you see this coaching staff, Al? Because, you know, I can go back to a guy like Scotty Robertson that I thought helped Paul out quite a bit when I first got here. Do you see
right.
the same sort of thing here, and having Cotton there as well, but do you see the same sort of thing taking place with Jeff and his staff?
Well, I really do, because obviously Jeff is in charge, but Jerry Seasting, who, of course, was an All-American at Purdue in his college days, played the NBA, he kind of concentrates on the offense. Mike Longobardi, who joined the Suns from the Boston Celtics staff, is kind of the defensive specialist. And then Kenny Gattison and Mark West, who are two big men in their own right, kind of work with the big men, and, of course, the job they've done with Miles Plumlee. certainly has been intriguing early in the season. So I think everybody on the staff contributes, and yet Jeff obviously is the head coach, is the final decision maker. But they seem to meld together, work together, and you know, you look at this ball club. Miles Plumlee, of course, with Indiana last year, never really had an opportunity to play. But I think he makes a strong point of what happens when an individual plays 4 years in college. And that's mm-hmm. what Miles did. He played 4 years at Duke. And as he told me early in the season, even though he didn't play at Indiana last year, he wasn't sleeping on the bench. He was learning, watching, and waiting for his opportunity that he now has. And then you have players like Smith, Gerald Green, who are getting another opportunity, Deontay Christmas, to play. And they're going to try and take advantage of it. And they certainly have all stepped up and been pluses in the five victories the Suns have so far.
Al McCoy with us, voice of the Suns, Hall of Famer, tonight in Portland, Suns, Blazers, with Brad Susmat. Eric Bledsoe, are you seeing about what you expected out of Eric Bledsoe?
I think so. I think we all knew the capabilities that he would present. I asked him the other night, we had him on our postgame show, and I said, you know, a lot of people questioned you, Eric, that you didn't play big minutes when you were with the Clippers because you came off the bench. Now you're playing big minutes. How do you feel? He said, I feel great, and I want to play every minute out there on the floor. And he's that type of individual. He gives you a great deal offensively and defensively. And he is come as advertised. I don't think there's any question about it.
I like his swagger. I mean, there's just something, a quiet confidence that I've seen. The other night I'm watching him play, and I liked how Goran came in off the bench to follow him. I don't know if you need to have Goran as a starter, or bringing him off the bench gives the Suns some really good depth in their backcourt.
Well, that's going to be interesting. Now, Goran did not come up with the team yesterday because he wanted to spend the day with his wife and his newborn son.
Yeah.
But he came up last night, and he's here. And it'll be interesting tonight to see if Coach Jeff Hornacek again brings Goran off the bench or starts him. Now, I know he likes Goran with Eric Bledsoe, and I think down the line you're going to see more of that. Right now, Dragic's ankle, I don't think, really is 100%. So we could see him come off the bench tonight, but I think that'll probably be a game-time decision. And, of course, if he does come off the bench, that means that the bench mob, as they call themselves, will have more scoring points with Gerald Green joining up with Markieff and Marcus Morris and company. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Before I let you go, these young kids, and I say young kids, that's how it is in this league. But Goodwin and Len, I know Len hasn't seen the court much at all. But Archie Goodwin, what do you make out of him so far, Al? Because here's a kid that came out of school early and does need to sit and watch, I think. The other night he had some errors of enthusiasm that I call. What do you see out of Goodwin so far?
Well, he's 19 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
And but he knows where the basket is. And when he gets in there, he's going to try and get to the hoop and do some scoring. Now, obviously, you're correct that it's still a learning process for him, but I think a 6'5", almost 200-pounder with the quickness that he has is going to be able to bring something to the party.
Sure.
And I think we're going to see him mature as this season goes along. And as you know, Coach Jeff Hornacek does not have any qualms about putting anybody that's in uniform in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And the players obviously like that.
Let you go off that. It's a fun team to watch, and I'm glad that they're going this direction. 5-2 quick start. Safe travels, Al. Thanks as always.
It'll be an interesting game. Both teams now have won 5 and lost 2. The Suns beat Portland in their opener in Phoenix, so it'll be a test tonight. No question about it.
Thanks, Al.
Thank you.
Al McCoy with us, voice of the Suns, the Hall of Famer, for a couple of minutes with Brad Susmat. Tonight, Suns Blazers. Like what they're doing. Know most of you are like, Kobe, LeBron. No. This isn't me on a rant for the last 3 years about the owner and the president. Those days are gone. I'm really focused on what we're seeing out on the floor right now. Michael Fabiano here in a couple of minutes. Talk with Michael about the fantasy football side of things, as we do every Wednesday with a Hall of Famer from the NFL Network and NFL.com. this segment of the Brad Sussmat Show brought to you by Simply Sell It Now. Simply Sell It Now sells people's cars, trucks, motorcycles, RVs, boats. Let them sell your vehicle. No upfront cost. That's right. No upfront cost. No hassle. Simply Sell It Now handles all the details, advertises and shows your vehicle, negotiates the price, closes the deal, handles all the paperwork. They have a website, simple for you to go to. It's simplysellitnow.com. Simplysellitnow.com. The Diamondbacks, so the general manager's meetings are underway. It's not the winter baseball meetings. That comes up next month. The general manager's meetings, this is where you start to lay the groundwork. And the Dodgers came out, the LA Times actually came out that the Dodgers are letting it be known that they're getting interest on the trade market for Yasiel Puig, as well as Matt Kemp, Andre Ethier, and Carl Crawford. If you're looking at outfielders this season, I think the Diamondbacks are one of the teams that should be looking at outfield power. You have Jacoby Ellsbury, Sin-Shu Chu, Carlos Beltran, Curtis Granderson, some of the outfielders that are available out there. Yesterday, Marlon Byrd lands 2 years, $16 million. If Marlon Byrd can get $8 million a year, what's the market going to bear? And so the Diamondbacks, would they be open with their depth in the outfield? I'm actually a fan of Pollock a little bit more than Eaton. I love what Parra is all about. Would they be open to trading Parra because right now you can get something big in exchange for Parra? On the starting rotation, I would try to add to the rotation. I mentioned Tim Hudson's name earlier this week. I think the Diamondbacks would be very wise. 15 teams, including the Red Sox, have been kicking the tires on Tim Hudson. I look at Tim Hudson. I go down that path. I'm not sitting here all caught up in Trevor Cahill and Brandon McCarthy once again. They owe Brandon McCarthy $9 million for next season. I can't see paying Brandon McCarthy $9 million. In the bullpen, do you move Heath Bell? I think J.J. Putz is a guy that they should consider trading. I think we've seen J.J. and having his better years here. Maybe a great clubhouse guy, maybe not. The Aaron Hill name, I've thrown Aaron Hill's name out as somebody that I think that they should look at moving. Aaron Hill's a terrific bat for them when he's in the lineup. That's the problem, when he's in the lineup. And they have some depth there. Could they move Martin Prado over to second base? There's not a chance, in my opinion, that they would go after Robinson Cano. That's $90 million. Eric, could you see the Diamondbacks going after Robinson Cano?
Nope.
You know, one of
too
these...
Too many holes to fill, Brad. Too many holes to fill.
One of these days, don't you think going after the biggest of the biggest free agents would be in the Diamondbacks' best interest? While they're a good team, nice team, don't you think it would be in their best interest to just at least try to make it happen? It's been a while.
I don't know. Ask Art Moreno what he thinks about going after the biggest fish in the pond.
No, that's true. It doesn't always work out.
And he's 0-2, really. I mean, Josh Hamilton was good last year. Was he great? No.
But Cano's a younger guy.
Right.
You plug Robinson Cano in, is the Valley savvy enough where it would equate to ticket sales, TV ratings, the whole business side? Because that's where it comes down to. Guys will say, well, he could do this at the plate. Trust me when I tell you this. There is the whole, how much cash can we make off this guy with jersey sales, television ratings, radio, all the business side that none of you want to hear about, but is front and center now on a lot of these guys and their deals.
Well, when Richie Sexton was here, people got excited about that.
He hit the ball a long way.
And he was pretty much a bust, and the team didn't win, and so that didn't work. It's all about the team winning games. That's how it works here in Phoenix. If you win games, people will show up. You can have big names, but guess what? If you're losing, people don't care.
But they're not interesting, are they? Is Goldschmidt interesting? I think he is. I think there's a certain level of
Quietly interesting.
Yeah.
He doesn't like the spotlight.
No.
He doesn't want to be out in front.
Well, it's like when Stephen Drew was here. Okay, Stephen Drew was a high first-round pick. Justin Upton didn't like Uptown, I don't think. I think it was the Diamondbacks' way of trying to boost his ego up for whatever reason. And then he ended up becoming sour in the locker room. On the other side, and much more on the Hot Stove League, because we are in that time of year in baseball, in the Hot Stove League with the Diamondbacks. On the other side, NFL, fantasy football. Guys, the playoffs are right around the corner. The Hall of Famer from the NFL Network, who joins us every week on the show, Michael Fabiano, NFL Network, NFL.com. He comes up next with your fantasy questions. You can shoot them over to me on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat, CESMAT, White Mountain Radio, our website, sports360az.com.
giving you fantasy football insight you can't get anywhere else. With NFL Network and NFL.com fantasy expert Michael Fabiano, here's Brad Sesmat.
And every week we talk fantasy football. Michael Fabiano, the NFL Network, NFL.com, the Hall of Famer. Down the home stretch we go, and I'm just flooded in my inbox with Colin Kaepernick questions. And what do fantasy owners do with him, Michael?
Well, this is a bad matchup coming up this week for Kaepernick in New Orleans. We saw what they did to the Cowboys and Tony Romo last week. They're very tough against the pass. This is not the same old Saints who you could throw on, and it was a good matchup in fantasy. So you should be looking to pick up a Nick Foles or a Case Keenum, and I would start both of those quarterbacks over Colin Kaepernick this week. Another quarterback with a bad matchup, Brad, Tom Brady. Tom Brady's last performance was very good, over 30 fantasy points. This week he's playing Carolina on Monday night on the road. Again, Case Keenum, Nick Foles, guys I would start over Tom Brady.
Are you buying Kaepernick, selling Kaepernick? Because that's been a big topic here the last 3 days of what's going on with Colin Kaepernick.
I prefer to sell him because of his schedule the rest of the season, and the fact of the matter is he's been an average fantasy quarterback more often than he's been a very good fantasy quarterback. This season, he misses Michael Crabtree. Earlier in the season, they weren't running the football with him enough. I still think Kaepernick is a guy who can help you because of the fact that lately they've been giving him more of a leash in terms of running the football. He's not a guy you should drop. There's no doubt about that. But there are certain quarterbacks out there that have better matchups that you can probably acquire on the cheap right now. One of them is Tony Romo, coming off of a bad game. The Cowboys have a bye this week. If you can do a flip of a Romo Kaepernick, I'd much rather have the Cowboys quarterback moving forward.
Who else are you selling? I mean, you mentioned Kaepernick is one you'd sell. Who are you selling? Because now we're in the time of where the playoffs are a few weeks out. You're looking at schedules and you're thinking, you know what, Brad, this is a bad guy to have coming down the stretch.
People may think I'm crazy by saying this, but Russell Wilson. And I wouldn't sell Russell Wilson right now. He's playing the Vikings this week. He is going to destroy the Vikings. He's going to have over 20 fantasy points. His value is going to go through the roof. He's been extremely good. But then Seattle has a bye in week 12. And after that, there are some tough matchups there for Russell Wilson. So if you can flip him for an upgrade at running back, an upgrade at wide receiver, because the quarterback position is so deep this year that you could really go into the next 5 or 6 weeks with Nick Foles as your starting quarterback. And he's still available in a lot of leagues. So if you can pick up someone like that, or maybe you grabbed Phillip Rivers off the waiver wire early in the season, and you have Rivers and you have Russell Wilson. I'm not saying to trade Russell for another quarterback. I'm saying trade him while his value is high, and believe me, it will be high after the Vikings game this weekend, for an upgrade somewhere else. One of the most important things that you need to think about right now, because the trade deadlines in fantasy are coming up really quick, is that, hey, all this depth I have on my bench is great, but man, I got to put together the best starting lineup I can week in and week out for the stretch run and for the postseason. So how do you do that? You trade from depth. And guys on your bench are not going to help you win fantasy championships. So don't be afraid to trade two really good players for one phenomenal player.
I'm Michael Fabiano with us, NFL Network, NFL.com, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer, joins us every week. Mark in Tempe, Cam Newton, Terrell Pryor. Who starts this week for me?
Cam Newton. And the matchup isn't extremely favorable for Cam, but Terrell Pryor's got the knee injury, and he has really struggled with that. He has been throwing a lot of interceptions over the last few weeks. He's got a tough matchup in Houston. Go Cam Newton.
Tom in Glendale, time to pick up Matt Flynn. I'm looking for a quarterback.
If you're looking to pick up Matt Flynn, my friend, you are either in a really deep league or really desperate at quarterback.
I'd like to know who he has.
I wouldn't do that. Again, Case Keenum, Nick Foles, even Jason Campbell. He's had over 20 fantasy points in his last two games. I don't love his matchup this week, but still, I'd rather have him than Matt Flynn. The Packers are still even on the fence about Matt Flynn, about his elbow, about his arm strength. That's why he's been bouncing around from team to team. If Matt Flynn was that good, the Seahawks would have kept him, or the Raiders would have kept him.
Right.
So you've got to look at that. Right now, the Packers are going with Scott Tolzien. He's probably a better pickup right now than Matt Flynn, and that's not saying much.
Getting a lot of questions, is this the week to activate and play Percy Harvin?
If you need a third wide receiver, two positives, two negatives. The two positives, He's 100% now. He's going to play this week. And he's playing his old team, the Vikings. And you know he would love to stick to the Vikings because they didn't want to pay him. The two negatives, one, you've got a pretty good group of young wide receivers in Seattle with Golden Tate. And you've got Doug Baldwin. You've got Curse over there. So you've got some options in the passing game. Number two, there have been reports that he's going to be limited. So do you want to start a guy who's on limited snaps? Well, if you're really hurting at wide receiver, then sure, maybe you will. All you really need from Percy Harvin is that one big play, and you know, he can get you 8 to 10 fantasy points. So it really depends on what kind of depth you have at wide receiver. At this point, I would err on the side of caution, but again, some people don't have that luxury.
Eric in Pine Top, first pick on the waiver wire PPR league, Rainey or Leonard? I'm looking for a running back.
I'll tell you something. This one is a flip of the coin. I think Rainey has more value, but I also think Rainey was cut by the Cleveland Browns, who don't have any running backs, really, for a reason. And Leonard was the guy who saw most of the carries last week when he played against the Dolphins. And it was a shame Mike James got injured because he was on pace to have a big game, and I think he would have been a really good asset down the stretch for fantasy owners. I would say Leonard, he can catch the ball out of the backfield, but I honestly think this is a really, really tough decision. This is a flip of the coin between these two guys because Greg Schiano has already said this is going to be a shared committee time. So I would go in a PPR league with Leonard, but I'll tell you something right now, I would not lean on either one of these guys as more than a desperation flex because you don't know who's going to see the ball more often than not week in and week out.
Waiver wire, first pick, Cole Beasley, Tavon Austin, Rishard Matthews.
I don't, wow. Those are three guys that
Beasley's
I don't
on
have
a
whole lot of faith in.
Beasley's on a bye.
Well, Tavon Austin's on a bye.
Yeah.
So is Beasley. He's on a bye.
Yeah.
If you need a wide receiver this week, you're going Matthews, but I don't buy into Matthews. Matthews was, he was a result of the fact that Darrell Revis was all over Mike Wallace. Brian Hartline, he had 5 or 6 catches, didn't have a bad day, but you had Matthews in there getting open, and Tannehill was looking for the guy who was getting open. I just don't believe in this Matthews explosion with 2 touchdowns in a big game on Monday night. I really need to see more from this kid. You're not going to be helped by either one of the other two guys because they're on a bye, but if you're looking long-term, it's Tavon Austin. But again, Tavon Austin's had one big game. Earlier in the season, he had a couple of touchdowns in a game, but not a lot of yardage. I need to see more. Kellen Clemens is still the quarterback in St. Louis.
And Beasley, I think it's anybody that's a Cowboy wide receiver, they just want to grab someone, right?
I don't know why after that horrible game they had last week against New Orleans, but down the stretch, they do have a pretty good schedule. So.
And I'm getting questions from Saints, or not Saints, people that own Colston. Is this the real Marcus Colston? I think I've asked you this question a couple times this season. Now he's had one breakout game. Buying or selling on Colston this late in the season?
I would pick him up off the waiver wire if someone dropped him, that's for sure. I think we talked about this. People were asking Colston or Kenny Stills, and I said, I'm still going with Colston. He has more skins on the wall. He's got the track record. And maybe, Brad, giving him that 1 week off to sort of feel better and rest up and heal up a little bit, maybe that helped because that looked like Marcus Colston. That looked like the guy who has finished in the top 15 in fantasy points at wide receivers more often than not during his NFL career with the Saints. So if he's available, I would certainly pick him up. And at this point, there's no reason not to play him as he's not going to be a 1 or a 2, which is probably where you drafted him as a 2. But can you start him as a 3 or a flex? Absolutely. And then if things progress to the point where, hey, Marcus Colston looks like the Marcus Colston of old, you've got another very good wide receiver to start each week.
Before I let you go, Michael Fabiano, NFL Network, NFL.com, the fantasy segment here with the Hall of Famer. A lot of questions around Dwayne Bowe. Now, yes, he's been cleared according to reports, but the Chiefs could decide, well, we're just going to suspend you for the game. They can't do that. And there's a lot there with Dwayne Bowe. Are you just that confident? You're starting him no matter what. And you could be could be screwed on Sunday night. Really, Michael?
You shouldn't even have Dwayne Bowe on your fantasy team anymore, to be quite honest with you. He has done nothing. And I don't know if it's a result of Dwayne Bowe not getting open or Dwayne Bowe not being able to fit into this offense, because Dwayne Bowe's a guy who stretches defenses. Alex Smith does not like to throw the football downfield. He doesn't. He is a guy who's going to dink and dunk. That's why Donnie Avery has more catches and more fantasy value at this point than Dwayne Bowe. Dwayne Bowe is not a guy that I would own. He's certainly not a guy I would start. Even in a game where there could be some points scored, I don't trust him. You get 5 or 6 points from Dwayne Bowe from a fantasy perspective, and you're like, oh, that's not a bad game. Well, that tells you all you need to know. Dwayne Bowe is too much of a risk at this point. Things are not going to turn around for him because Alex Smith is the quarterback. They don't go deep. Alex Smith likes to dink and dunk. Like I said, he throws those short to intermediate routes. And that's why Dexter McCluster has even had some better games than a guy like Dwayne Bowe. That's why Jamaal Charles has gotten so many catches. Alex Smith likes to dink and dunk, check down, give it to the guy that's the safe play there out of the backfield. I don't trust Dwayne Bowe. I wouldn't own him.
Let you go off that. Appreciate your time and insight, as always, and answering all the fans' questions. Thanks, Michael.
All right, my friend. Take care.
Michael Fabiano with us every week. Sports360AZ.com. White Mountain Radio. Always good to be a part of White Mountain Radio. And on Twitter, you can follow Michael Fabiano at Michael Fabiano. Of course, check out his content on the NFL Network. And I'm on Twitter, too, at Brad Sussmat. Back with more after this timeout. Very sad to read that Todd Christensen passed away. Remember Todd Christensen, Raider, tight end, NBC Sports analyst? Todd Christensen, one of the very good analysts in his time, former BYU Cougar, passed away today during surgery in Provo. Tough stuff there. Brad Sussmat with you, sports360az.com, and of course on White Mountain Radio, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. The Santan Ford people, since day number one of this show, have said, we believe in what you're doing. We know you want to be with Arizona State. We know you want to go to the NFL Combine. We believe in your vision of taking sports out of Arizona and traveling across the country to places. They're a big part of what we do. They also believe in what I do on a daily basis here on this show. And it's pretty humbling to have people that for over 2 years have said, Brad, we believe in you. Go do what you need to do. We're here to support you. That's what it's all about with Santan Ford. Now, how about you? Because you need that same kind of support with the vehicle that you own. Can you say that with unequivocal conviction that where you bought your vehicle the last time, they're in it to win it for you? Could be the service side. Could be the personal relationship side. I know people that have vehicles on their fifth and sixth and seventh purchase from the same dealer through the years. That's the same type of people that I see at Santan Ford. I see the little license plate holder. I was out at the Cardinals game on Sunday. A lot of Santan Ford license plate holders out there. A lot of people have figured it out. And General Manager Tim Hovick is a big sports fan. And he's very involved, not just a fan, but he's very invested and involved in a lot of the sporting entities here in our great state. Stop on in for your next purchase, or just stop on in to get service as well. That's at Santan Ford, Santan 202, and Val Vista Santan Ford, where it is all about you. We mentioned the other day that this concussion story, Ridley Scott, 30-plus years directing films. Ridley Scott directed Black Hawk Down, American Gangster, Blade Runner. And we had mentioned that he's going to get involved in the NFL. I didn't know to the depth of this movie that he's going to do. Now it's starting to come out, and the NFL better be scared to death. He's going to create a drama focusing on the debilitating effects that concussions are having on our sports heroes. Just last week, Tony Dorsett, a hero to many, or watching Earl Campbell, who's been run down, Junior Seau turns a gun on himself. I could go on and on. We have the high school young man at Hopi High School who passed away day before yesterday, hit to the back of the head with a helmet. It's become a national story, the story up at Hopi High School and how heartbreaking it is. A guy like Ridley Scott's going to take on chronic traumatic encephalopathy. I'll get it right. He's been there and done documentaries. There are players. I'm sure he's not going to have any problems trying to find players. Could be Jim McMahon. Could be Mark Duper. I mean, you could go down the list of guys. I'm big on movies, as you guys know, and checking this show out. I'm big on the whole concussion thing. And when this comes out, I will definitely be right in the middle of it. And I'm, you know, Todd Christensen, I bring it back around to Todd Christensen. He was only 57 years old. He passed away today. Liver disease, other serious illnesses. And whenever somebody passes away young, I'm sorry. It goes in the back of my mind of, I wonder if there was something football related that is part of this death. Todd Christensen was one of my favorite Raiders to deal with. On a much more pleasant note, so let's start looking ahead now to Saturday night. Saturday, U of A plays Washington State down in Tucson. Starting to read some stories about Mike Leach. We were deceived up in Pullman that Mike Leach is all talk, not backing it up. Washington State have the wheels come off in very short term for Mike Leach. I think Kadeem Carey is going to run for a lot of yards, and Arizona is going to whack Washington State around. Then you come up here, and that game, by the way, is at noon. If you're looking for get your college football fix out of the way, you can go to Tucson for a noon kick on Saturday. Saturday night, Arizona State hosts Oregon State. One of the best coaches, in my opinion, in the Pac-12 conference is Mike Riley. I'm surprised he's in Corvallis still, but that's where he's from. That's where he's coached. That's where he's played. He left and did the NFL. Didn't like it. Went back to Corvallis. Was at USC. He's done terrific things, but he'd rather just be at Corvallis. They are always well coached. They have a terrific quarterback in Mannion. I think probably one of the more underrated quarterbacks within the Pac-12 conference because he's at Corvallis, Oregon. I'm sorry. Yeah, he gets a little bit of attention, but not as much as he should. So the game Saturday night for ASU, it's as simple as this. You believe that because they're not playing up on the Beavers' home turf where they played last year, I was up at that game, ASU had no shot up there. Different team up at Reser Stadium. ASU at home with all the momentum that they have going. You win this game and it sets up what I think should be the game of the year in the Pac-12 conference between UCLA. And UCLA plays Friday night against Washington. They'll have an extra day of rest. It should set up the game of the year in the conference, Pac-12 South, rather, between ASU and UCLA. They've not announced the start time for that yet, for that game. ASU-UCLA a week from this Saturday.
What's the rush?
We're only 9 days away, and, oh, I don't know, people have plans to make.
What's the rush?
Come on. It's just, you know, your fans. You're going to show up. We'll just tell you. So forget about when you can book your flight or all that stuff. Let's play the what-if game, though. If Arizona State is able to beat Oregon State to set up this titanic matchup with UCLA on the Bruins' home field, even if ASU were to lose to the Beavers on Saturday night and lose to UCLA a week from Saturday, ASU could still play in the Pac-12 title game by beating U of A and having USC beat UCLA. The facts are it's all in ASU's hands. All you have to do is handle your business now, and you're going to go on and win the Pac-12 South, and you'll probably be playing Stanford. And Eric and I are very sad that we will have to go back to San Francisco for a few days to do shows up in the Bay Area.
Yeah, it's not nice up there. Oh, wait, yes, it's very nice.
Kicking and dragging and screaming. And what would be even worse is we'd probably have to go up a couple of days early for all the pre-Pac-12 title game festivities, I'm thinking. And we'd have to go back to the Pac-12 network and maybe even do a show from there. Here's Todd Graham on Oregon State and the challenges that they bring down here to Tempe on Saturday night.
It's a very good team that we're playing. They've lost to Stanford, lost to USC, and other than that, have played really, really well and very, very explosive offensively. Very, very well coached football team.
Chris Coyle, ASU tight end. They are not going to lose focus on this game.
The thing about success is you start going, oh, you know, we're pretty good. We've done well in these past couple of games. Guys get a little complacent, a little lackadaisical with their stuff, and that's how good teams get beat. And the biggest thing is our coaches constantly, every day, telling us don't be complacent, keep getting better. We've got to practice harder than we ever have, and that's what's going to keep us winning.
I'm a fan of Chris Coyle's. They didn't use Chris Coyle nearly enough at the start of the season. And you wonder if now they're coming into the final few games, if there's some things that they've been holding back this season, some things that they've been working on, put to the side, and come back to. We've seen where Jalen Strong, and Eric, correct me on this, Jalen Strong was dinged up a couple weeks back, hasn't been quite the same guy, or is it opposing defenses have said, we're just not going to let Jalen Strong beat us, so Rick Smith, you can go out and do whatever it is you want to do, and he stepped forward.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I think they're rolling an extra safety over the top on deep balls to Jalen Strong when they can.
Yeah.
But Rick Smith has been huge the last two games.
Hasn't dropped things.
The go-ahead cut touchdown against Utah and a couple big catches against Wazoo, and it's all about confidence for him, and he's definitely got it back. So,
you know, And I bring this up because Oregon State, UCLA, U of A, three games down the stretch, are you going to continue to do I'll throw DJ Foster out there. Has DJ Foster statistically had a great season?
No. But he really hasn't had to. They have so many weapons.
That's true. No, that's my point is, has Marion Grice statistically had a great season? The answer obviously is yes, he has. And I think as the season has progressed, he's actually gotten stronger. He's gotten better. The offensive line has actually figured some things out for Arizona State. And that's why Marion Grice, and you talk to college or the pro people, and they're talking about Marion Grice and Kadeem Carey as guys that are going to be first day NFL draft guys. When was the last time that happened in the state of Arizona, where you had two running backs that were on the first day of the NFL draft being taken? And and you could even throw Zach Bauman up at NAU in that mix. You know, Zach's going to be a Darren Sproles guy. Set the all-time record up there for Coach Sowers at NAU this year. It's been a terrific year for running backs. Hey, that's a pretty good story I just came up with. Eric, go do it. Shoot it, play it, put it together. Done. I'll go ride it. You know, something like that. The other games, though, so the ASU game is late on Saturday. Stanford and USC, you know, I have a hard time watching USC, and I know they've gotten better as the season has progressed. But it's I've had enough of USC. That's why I am rooting for Arizona State to push this thing across the finish line. I am rooting for Arizona State to have a big bowl game. I don't want to take this show to El Paso. I don't really want to take this show to San Antonio, although San Antonio's not bad for the Alamo Bowl. If I have to go to El Paso and do the story on the Boot Factory again, I've done the Boot Factory story in El Paso, and the lady behind the bar in El Paso who solved my bad throat 1 year, 20 years ago, with some concoction. I've told those stories. I need someplace fresh. We were in San Francisco last year. It was fine. We were in Vegas the year before that. It was fine. Great stories. I'd be okay with the Holiday Bowl in San Diego. But if I'm at the Sun Bowl, it means I'm probably talking about a team that lost two of their final three down the stretch that controlled their own destiny. And I don't want that.
You'd really like to see the U of A game not be for the Pac-12.
Oh, I'd
South
love
title.
To see the
you
U of
really
A game.
You really don't want that
oh,
to happen.
Oh, come on.
Because
why
that
not?
Would ruin a really, really good year.
Why would you not want that?
You just don't you, want that look, if you're an ASU
Eric,
fan.
Eric, you didn't go to ASU. I didn't go to ASU.
But we, I've lived here my whole life, and I know
want
the,
this.
And I know the pain because U of A has broken ASU's hearts in football so many times
be
growing
terrific.
Up.
Terrific. We're already hearing, by the way, the ASU U of A game, that's a night game, and they already announced that?
It's to be determined.
Of course it is.
It's not same, announced.
It's the same day as the high school Division I playoff championship.
It's actually
game.
The day after.
Is it the day
yep.
after now?
The high schools are on Friday, ASU U of A is on Saturday.
Oh, that's better then. I was given some bad intelligence. And people have said that about me my whole
it's
life.
It's got to be a night game, though. That's got to be a 7 o'clock or a 4:30 or a 5
o'clock. 12 o'clock on the Pac-12 Network. We don't care.
0% chance that happens.
Of course, on Twitter at Brad Sesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. Great to be part of White Mountain Radio. Good people, White Mountain Radio Company. Brad Sesmat with you, sports360az.com. Stuff going around the Arizona sports scene. Thanks for being with us.